This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am so delighted and happy to be with you today to spend this time together having holy conversation about the things that matter most. And what is that? Our relationship with God and how we live out that relationship in our everyday lives, bringing His presence to the world. You know, that is the sole purpose for which you are here on earth. Amen. And God does it through various diverse ways. And when we are open to seeing those ways and participating in this glorious call and mission that is ours, great things happen. Great things happen in our lives. Great things happen in the lives of others. So we open our phone lines to you so that we can have that holy conversation, see what in the world God is doing in your life today, as well as any other question that you might have for us. And let me give you those numbers. We are here for you. We are indeed. And here is the way you can get in touch with us. 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. We're available for you that way. We're also available for you another way too. If you're outside of North America, you can get in touch with us. Country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Always eager to hear from you. I also want to remind you about something else. We do mailbag shows around here every once in a while, and I love to do mailbag shows, but I need to have emails. So I'm going to give you the email address that you can send to us so that we can indeed approach your question in that way. Our email address right here is womenofgrace@ewtn.com. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's the way that you can get in touch with us as we seek to have holy conversation with you. Want to just share something else with you too. And I do want to remind you that our Women of Grace annual retreat is coming up at Malvern Retreat House. It's coming up the middle of July. We're going to be up there. I'm going on the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th will be our Benedicta Leadership Institute. It is being led by Kathleen Beckman. And I want to tell you, you are in for a treat with her. She is going to be sharing with us about the way in which the evil one specifically seeks to attack woman today, destroy woman today, seduce woman today, and how it is that we can recognize the tactics and how it is that we can do battle against that. I'm telling you, I cannot wait to hear what she has to say. I invited her, when was that? Last October, I heard her at a Magnificat conference that was taking place in California. And, as soon as I heard her, I said, oh, our women need to hear this. Our women really need to hear this. So she's going to lead the entire leadership conference. We're going to have Father Philip Scott also giving us a presentation during that. Sue Brinkman is going to be giving a presentation during that. I'll always have a few words to say as well. But it's going to be just beautiful. And that is on the 12th and the 13th. I hope I'm giving you the right dates. I am. The 13th in the evening starts the retreat itself. And that is there too, all at Malvern Retreat House there, St. Joseph in the Hills. Oh, golly, it's so pretty there. And our theme is going to be embracing the holy duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit. So it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for us to come together. Father Philip Scott is presenting at that. Kathleen is. My husband, Jack Williams, is too. I'll be presenting at that. We've got a track for our Young Women of Grace, first time ever for our Young Women of Grace groups that have come up through our Young Women of Grace study. So we're eager for you to bring your daughter, your granddaughter, your niece, you know, students from your school. I don't care. Just bring them. Just bring them. We're eager for them to hear the wonderful speakers that we've got. That will be with us for that beautiful event as well. And it's all happening. It's all happening. So you can get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. All of the information is available for you there. You can go to Malvern's retreat site too. But womenofgrace.com contains all of the info for you. So get on out there and take a look at that. Well, we were just graced with the presence of two beautiful religious sisters from Colombia, and they are members of an order called the Eucharistic Communicators of God the Father. Isn't that beautiful? The Eucharistic Communicators of God the Father. And on our Spanish side of the house, in Spanish radio, these two beautiful religious sisters produce a program that is heard via EWTN Spanish side of the house. So what a wonderful opportunity it was. They didn't speak any English, but of course we had an employee here who was taking them around and is bilingual. And so she could express what I was saying to them, and she could express back to me what they were saying to me. And it was a beautiful opportunity to meet them. And they were here right up to 30 seconds before we went on the air. As a matter of fact, we took a picture right here. And it was just lovely. And it reminds us of how great it is to have the opportunity to experience evangelization through the airwaves. And when you consider the fact that EWTN has all of this going on in South and Central America, has all of this going on in Europe, has all of this going on in various sundry places, it blows the mind. It just makes me want to say thank you, Mother Angelica, for your fiat, because my goodness sakes, I can't wait to get to heaven just to see the number of people that have acquired eternal life as a result of the outreach of EWTN television and radio and all of its other platforms. I just can't wait. It's going to be great. I look forward to it with joy in my heart. Well, guess what? The phone lines are lighting up. We've got Facebook questions and YouTube questions floating in here, and that makes me all but giddy. Do want to give you those numbers again, 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. That's the number to use if you were in North America. It's toll-free for you there. If you're outside of North America, here you go. Here's your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. If you call from outside of North America, we get you right on the air, because we know that you're doing this at your expense. So we certainly do invite you to give us a call, and you can feel comfortable that you're going to get right on the airs. Become part of our Howdy Club. You become part of our Howdy Hey Club just by saying, Howdy Hey, Matt. It's all you have to do. Very easy and simple for you there. Gee whiz, I'm tempted to go to the phone lines, but I generally like to go to the break first. So why don't we go to the break, and we're going to come back. We'll go to the break early so we can get right to you, because, oh, I love you so much. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. June 19th. Saint Frumentius Bishop wrote, "The soul that journeys in the light and the truth of the faith is safe against all error." Let us reflect. Is my soul journeying in the light and the truth of the faith? Or have I let false lights cast their shadow on my journey? What is my resolution today?
If you'd like to receive a daily Grace Line by email, go to womenofgrace.com and click on the word Grace Line. Then click on the box Receive Grace Lines. That's womenofgrace.com.
Join us for the Daily Mass, celebrated each day here on EWTN.
Hello, everyone. I'm Johnette Benkovic-Williams, inviting you to join me and women from around the country for a weekend of formation, fellowship, and fun at our annual Women of Grace retreat at the breathtaking Malvern Retreat House during the weekend of July 13th through 15th. Our theme is Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit, and features fabulous speakers, Kathleen Beckman, Father Philip Scott, Jack Williams, Thomas K. Sullivan, and yours truly. The retreat includes Mass, Adoration, Confession, talks, reflection times, a healing service, and some special surprises. It is preceded by the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar entitled Women, God's Special Weapon Against Evil with Kathleen Beckman, Susan Brinkman, and Father Philip. We are thrilled to offer you our very first Young Women of Grace one-day retreat on Saturday, July 14th. See you there. Visit womenofgrace.com for details or call 800-558-5452.
You can listen to EWTN Radio at any time of day or night. Audio on demand brings all your favorite programs, recently broadcasted shows, prayers, and devotions instantly to you. And it's free. For more, visit EWTNapps.com.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity.
Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Bankovic.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Bankovic. Very happy to be with you today. I understand I was a little dyslexic in giving the numbers again. The 86 and the 85 get confused in my mind, but we don't want them to confuse you, so I'm going to correct my mistake for you here. You can call us with your questions, your comments, your insights, your inspirations, your words of encouragement. Toll free in North America at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, if you are outside of North America, you can call us too. And that number is country code 1-205-271-2985. Not 86, 85, right? Country code 1-205-271-2985, all right? So we invite you to do just that. Looking forward to it. We're going to go to the callers right now because there's lots of you lining up here, and we also have some questions that have come into us via social media. Jeff Burson running that. Matt Gabensky call screening. Let's go to Ann. She's calling us from the Midwest. She's with us via EWTN.com. And let's see what she has to say today. Ann, how are you, darling? Hi, Ann. Ann? Oh, there she is. I hear her now. How are you doing, Ann?
Hey, good, Johnette. I've got a new age question for you.
Okie dokie. Let's see if we can answer it.
Okay. So recently I started seeing a psychologist.
Okay.
And so far I've met with her three times.
All righty.
And when I was... When I was in the waiting room before the first appointment, I picked up her business card and was concerned to see that listed as one of her specialties was, quote-unquote, energy psychology.
Oh.
And I told her during our first session, I was a devout Catholic, that I couldn't get involved in any energy work. And then just yesterday when I was there at her office, I noticed that on the signage to her office, there's a physician who I guess shares office space in her suite who does, quote-unquote, acupuncture and energy medicine.
Oh, dear.
And I noticed that when I'm sitting in the waiting room, they're playing, like, Native American medicine flute music and all these things. And we're still in the process of her assessing me and diagnosing me, but she's told me that once that's done, she wants to do EMDR with me. But my questions for you are, am I even safe physically being in that office space? Could there be evil spirits lingering in the office space due to the types of New Age practices being conducted there? You know, am I placing myself, or have I already placed myself, in harm's way just being there, even though she's not going to be doing any type of energy work with me specifically?
Well, you know, Ann, this is an excellent question, and I want to tell you, you've shared a term with me today that I haven't heard before, and that's energy psychology. So I'm going to get Sue Brinkman right on that and see what we can find out about it in a little bit more detail. You know, that's interesting. That being said, what you have to understand is that when people are deeply involved in this, and now she's incorporating it into her methodology in treating her patients, the fact of the matter is their worldview is very different. So just as you are Catholic and your worldview comes to you through the lens of your Catholic faith, your understanding of who God is, who man is, what our problem is and what the resolution to that problem is, so too does she. And she comes at it from what we would call an anti-Catholic perspective. Now, here I'm not talking about anti-Catholic in the sense of social injustice or bias or prejudice or any of those things. Here I'm talking about it from the philosophical perspective where it is not Christian. It's anti-Christian. It's against Christianity because it has a very different worldview of who God is, who man is, what our problem is, and what the resolution would be. And she's openly admitted by the fact that she says energy psychology, that this plays very much into the techniques and practices, her perspective of her patient and all of these things. So I don't think she is the psychologist for you based on that. And that's a strong statement. I usually don't go that strongly. I usually say you should consider that, and you should. But I don't know how she would separate that perspective and the way in which she conducts herself in her practice from the way in which you would say, you know, any more than you would be able to separate your Catholic understanding of the world from the way in which you operate and the way in which you conduct yourself. So it's definitely going to influence and impact what it is that she does with you. And I don't know how she could, You know, if she's that deeply involved, and it sounds as though she is, I'm not even sure what her methodology would be and how she would isolate, if you will, other kinds of therapeutic practices from what she is openly admitting is the way in which she does business. So I think that that her description of her practice, her description of herself, most definitely would give me great pause. And I would even go so far as to say, you would do far better with somebody who lines up according to your worldview. So I would look for someone who is a Catholic therapist, a Catholic psychologist, and there's plenty of them out there. And I'll give you a way in which you can find one in your area in just a minute. As for the fact that this is going on, what about entering into the place itself? What about what the physician is involving himself in, as well as what this doctor is involving herself in? Well, I would say this about that. when we operate in those kinds of techniques and practices, when we open ourselves up to that worldview and that belief system, we are welcoming in those spirits that occupy and are attentive to and orchestrate those the worldview as well as the techniques and the practices of it. So somebody can come into your home, for example, and you welcome Jesus and the angels and the saints and Our Lady into your home, right? You welcome the Father and the Holy Spirit into your home, and it absolutely affects the atmosphere. Because though we cannot see these beings with our human eye, the fact of the matter is they do take up residence there. And we want Jesus and Our Lady and God the Father and the Holy Spirit and the angels and the saints to fill up our home. And you can feel it. And I'm sure you've had that experience where people will come in and say, oh, it's so peaceful here. Well, why is it peaceful? Because heaven reigns in your house. Heaven orchestrates your home. And you, with full, surrender of your will to what it is that the Father wants to do, give him reign of your home. You know, Mary and our Lord Jesus Christ are king and queen of your home. And that presence is felt. People might not know what it is, but they certainly do acknowledge the atmosphere of your home. And so there is that, all right? Likewise, and conversely, when we are calling upon the powers of darkness to aid us in these occult practices, which they all are, spirits come and occupy the space. We can't see them with the human eye, but nonetheless, their presence is felt, and they are in attention there. And it isn't heaven that's there. It's these powers of darkness, and darkness is there. And the more sensitive your soul becomes to these things, the more you can discern the spirit. You know, you can see the difference that's there. So I think that you yourself, Anne, obviously have reservations or you wouldn't be calling today. And I would say those reservations are rightly placed. I would say that the concerns are part of this gift of discernment that you acquired at baptism and was strengthened within you at confirmation. And I would heed it and I would go and look for a new therapist. So how do you do that? Well, there is a site that's available to you. It's Catholic Therapists with an S, CatholicTherapists.com, C-O-M. And if it's not com, it's org, but I'm pretty certain it's com. And you can put that in. And you can put your zip code in, and it will show you who Catholic therapists are in your area who ascribe to the teachings of the church. Another excellent one. And some of these individuals that are listed there also do counseling via Skype and by phone and other means, too, if they're not located particularly near to you. But hopefully there is one in your area. Another opportunity, and I do know that this opportunity does phone counseling as well as Skype counseling, is pastoralsolutions.com or org. I'm so bad on the extensions, Pastoral Solutions. And that is Dr. Gregory Popchak's practice that's in Steubenville, Ohio. But he has numbers of people that work with him in that practice. And so they offer this as well. So there's two opportunities for you right there, and I hope that you find a psychologist who lines up according to the teaching of the church and is of great service and value to you as you move forward. Do you have any other questions?
Thank you so much,
Anne.
No, that's it. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, darling, and God bless you today and always.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, we've got to be, you know, it's interesting because I was having a conversation with some of the guys in radio before going on the air today about doctors in general, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, the past generation of individuals, for the most part, you know, just never questioned the doctor. But we're in a different day and time, you see. And doctors are not infallible to begin with. They're human persons just like ourselves. And we have got to be good advocates for that which we're purchasing. We've never really thought of ourselves as purchasers of medical care, but we are. We're consumers of medical care. And just as you know, go out there onto a dealership to purchase a vehicle, you've probably done your research on that vehicle, and it's why you're there. And just as you ask questions, especially if it's a used vehicle, you know, you ask questions because you're going to buy something here, and that what you're buying is going to affect you in some way. And we have to be good consumers of our medical care and our emotional care. Right. So we want to question these people, you know, and we're really interviewing them in a certain sense to see if we want to buy what they're selling. And there's nothing the matter with that. That's just being savvy and smart. So, you know, I really do encourage you both for your physical needs as well as for your emotional or psychological needs. In the same, even with your deeply spiritual needs, when you're looking for a spiritual director or a spiritual counselor, ask questions. And if there's something that doesn't line up with the teachings of the church, woo-hoo-hoo, back on up, back away. You know, we just don't want to put ourselves in jeopardy in any way. You know, we want people that know what they're doing in all of these ways. And we want to know that what they're doing is in accordance with what we believe. They have the capacity to lead us very close to our Lord or the capacity to turn us away from him in varieties of ways. And this stuff is subtle. It is so subtle. It creeps in. It just creeps in. And it takes over. And pretty soon our own worldview gets, you know, askew. And, you know, we're making accommodations. Oh, well, maybe this energy is the Holy Spirit. Please. The Holy Spirit is not energy. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. You don't go cozying up to your electrical socket because it's energy. It's a very different thing. So anyway, all that being said, you got to be a good consumer. You want to know what you're doing there. All righty, let's go to Karen. She's calling us from Dallas, Texas this morning, Guadalupe Radio Network. Whoopee for Guadalupe. I just love Guadalupe Radio Network and all of the affiliates. I love all of the networks that are out there that support Catholic radio today. There are so many of you, and we're so grateful to you, Covenant Radio. Just could name all of them. All right, Karen's with us, and she is in Dallas. Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hello, Jonathan, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
For your wedding. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
I have a couple Saturdays ago, and I didn't realize that it was a recorded session you had.
Okay.
You had a lady on there about her mother was being mean and evil to her, at the grandchildren, and I didn't get the name because my daughter is, her behavior is very evil. She talks ugly about me to my great-grandchildren.
Now, aww, sweetheart.
Because I correct them and discipline them, and she don't. So she told me, she tells them that Mimi is mean.
Oh, honey.
And I just have a broken heart. And I was going to see what the name of the lady is with the book.
Okay.
You had a guest on.
Yeah, you know,
and I called, but I guess on a Saturday you don't take calls.
Yes, baby. Well, first of all, sweetheart, I'm so sorry, Karen, that you're going through such pain and anguish in your heart. You know, the words that we speak can either build up or tear down. And unfortunately, what's happened here is these words have been tearing down and destroying you and placing false notions, I'm sure, in the heads of your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And it makes me so sad your daughter is being so mean to you and so awful. You know, I had something similar to your situation not long ago that came into us via YouTube or Facebook, or it was an email, mailbag, I can't remember which, but the person said, you know, her daughter is being mean to her. And I said this about that. There is no expiration date on the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, and there's no expiration date. There's no birthday that comes in our lives where we are now excused from that commandment. We are called to honor our father and our mother. And we're called to honor them whether they have been wonderful to us or not so wonderful, whether they've hurt us deeply or whether they've been sheer joy. So I'm sorry that your daughter's not living that out. Go ahead, dearest.
She's loading what she does with the in-laws and what all they do. And I think that she doesn't hope it's just put a knife in my heart and I raised my little great grandbaby. She's three. I raised her for birth.
Well, baby, this is a horrible pain and suffering. And you cannot make her do otherwise. You know that. She has free will. She can either operate out of the fourth commandment and out of love or not. And currently it seems as though she's chosen against it. She's chosen against love. She's chosen against the fourth commandment. But you're left now with the residue of this. So what do we do with this now? What do we do with this pain? What do we do with this suffering? And I'm going to share with you, I think, one of the great secrets that all of the saints knew. And we take that pain and we take that suffering and we make it our prayer. Just as Jesus took all of the pain and all of the suffering that he experienced on the cross and prior to the cross in his passion, all of the pain and all of the suffering that he experienced throughout his public ministry, he took all of that and he offered it to the Father. It was his prayer. His prayer of intercession was his pain and his suffering. And through that pain and through that suffering, through that prayer, eternal life has come to each one of us. So this prayer can either continue, this suffering can either continue to torment you. It can continue to destroy you. It can continue to be piercings to the heart, knife wounds to your soul. Or you can take that pain like our Lord did in that suffering and you can make it your prayer. Every time that pain or suffering visits you, whether it's through something that she says or something that comes back to you, or even the knowledge and the memory comes into your mind that this is happening. You can take that and you can say, Lord, I cannot control my daughter, but I can take the pain and the suffering that I am experiencing right now, and I can make it my offering with yours. I can take on this portion of your cross with you, and I can offer this to the Father for the sake of my daughter's soul and for the sake of my grandchildren and great-grandchildren who are being so seriously misled. God tells us vengeance is mine. And God will at some point in time reveal to your daughter, whether it's in time as we experience it chronologically or whether it's in the eternal moment, he will reveal to her exactly what this did. But perhaps your prayers will be there to soften the blow, and she'll know the prayer that you offered on her behalf. And so I encourage you in that way, sweetheart, and I'm going to tuck you into my rosary and offer up, today is Tuesday, the fourth mystery. I'm putting you into the fourth mystery. Jesus carries his cross, and I know you can carry this cross too, because he's there to strengthen you, and Our Lady is there to intercede for you. Thank you, Karen, and God bless you, sweetie. You hear that music, friends? We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Teresa Tamio.
It's our goal to help each and every listener take this beautiful faith of ours out into the public square with great ideas on making a difference through engaging the culture.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I went paddleboarding with my family recently. It took forever to get there. The AC stopped working in my van. I couldn't find parking. The paddleboard pump broke. By the time we were ready to have family fun, I was ready to explode on everyone. I was miserable. Now, if I may examine my conscience on radio with you, everything I just complained about is the problem of a blessed person. I have a car, paddleboards, kids, and I'm at a safe state park in the story. I was frustrated because I was trying to manage my blessings. So often, that's exactly what frustrates us. We got to get the kids to school, make their lunches, run off to work. Stop. Think. Thank. You have kids, food, and a job. All blessings. But if you don't get intentional about counting them as blessings, you'll end up miserable and cranky. We need to stop and pause and take stock of what's actually going on and give thanks often. Then we can have perspective and joy even in the midst of the chaos. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
Have you heard about Church Pop? Church Pop features new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
Do you lament missed opportunities in your life?
We all have them.
Let's talk about that on today's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie here on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Women of Grace.
Here's today's quote from Mother Angelica's perpetual calendar. A mother's vocation is complete when she freely gives her child to God. Mother's spiral-bound perpetual calendar features an inspirational message for each day of the year. It's available from the EWTN Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com. Or call 1-800-854-6316.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Bankovic.
Welcome back, friends. You are with us here on Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. We had Karen on the line right before we went to our break there, and she was asking about the book that was mentioned in the program that she heard on a Saturday. The guest was Marge Fenelon. Marge Fenelon, and the book is Forgiving Mother. And that book is available for you at EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com. Now, in your case, Karen, it's sort of like the reverse, isn't it? It's not that you're looking to forgive your mother, but you're looking to forgive your daughter. So I think you can read that book and gain insight from it, and I think it will be very helpful. Now, for those of you who also heard that broadcast, or if you haven't heard the broadcast and the very title of the book sparked something in you, I want you to know that this Thursday, Marge Fenelon is going to be with us on Women of Grace Live, and we're going to be talking about the book, and her specific reason for being with us is so that we can take your questions about that topic. So Marge Fenelon is our live guest this Thursday, just a couple of days from now, on Women of Grace Live, her book, Forgiving Mother, available for you out there at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. I also mentioned to you that we had two beautiful sisters that were with us today, both of whom are involved in radio in Colombia. And I told you about their community. It was the Eucharistic Communicators of God the Father. And they were here on pilgrimage. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but I do want to encourage you, if you have not made pilgrimage to EWTN, we encourage you to do that. Beautiful opportunity awaits you here. You'll get to meet lots of the people that you see on television and radio. You'll get to meet lots of the people that you hear on radio. You'll get to go on a tour. You'll get to see how the network operates. You'll be walked through the studio. Obviously, you can spend time in the chapel. Our Lady of the Angels, Jesus, is exposed in that chapel. The gift shop is lovely. The opportunities here are tremendous. And if you want to take a drive about 70 miles away is the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament and Mother Angelica's final resting place there, up in Hansville, Alabama. To get more information, simply go out to EWTN.com, EWTN.com. We invite you to see what awaits you right here in Irondale and Hansville, Alabama. We're going to go back to our phone lines here, and I am so eager to take Patty's call. She's with us from Michigan. Holy Family is the way she's listening to us today. Good morning, Patty. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joanette.
Good.
I just called because I talked to you a couple weeks ago, and then about I was having a problem trying to find a job.
Yep.
Last week I called you for my first interview, and I'm just about ready to get out of my car for my second interview.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful, Patty. That is wonderful. Yay. Well, let's just do what we did the last time. Let's just join together, and friends, we're going to say a prayer for Patty that this job becomes available to her always. If it's in within the will of the Father. But we do ask, Lord God, that you would open the doors for Patty that you want to be opened. And if this is that door, let her walk through it with full confidence in you. And so it is that we come before you in this moment, and we lift Patty up to you and all of those other individuals that are looking for positions right now, Father. We just offer all of them up to you. Every opportunity we ask that you would make available to them as we ask our Blessed Lady's intercession and seek her supplication as we pray Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. You go get them, Patty.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Well, that's good news, isn't it? And I love these praise reports. You know, I love to hear when the prayers that we pray are efficacious. So we invite you always, you know, if we've prayed for you here on the air, let us know. That edifies the body of Christ. It keeps us praying. It encourages us. It encourages all of those who hear your testimony. It says that prayer matters. It says that God hears our prayer. It says that we matter very much to him. So thank you, Patty, for that good news. Let's see what happens next. And you let us know, honey, if you get that job. Let's go to Katie. Katie is with us from Fayetteville, West Virginia. We're inviting you to call us too. Toll free in the United States is 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Hey, Katie, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Just dandy. Thank you for asking. What's going on with you today?
Well, I've been married for about 4 years now, and
okay.
I had just an issue that came up about 6 months ago, and my younger sister, you know, she, and I don't want to explain the situation, but basically she did something to really hurt me and my husband. And, and we confronted her about the situation and what happened and, you know, just told her how much it hurt us and, you know, and things. And she did not take it well. And, I mean, really did not take it well. And, we kind of came to a conclusion after everything that maybe it was best to take some space away from certain family members that were kind of having this tension as well, and her, and not really understanding us and not apologizing or being, you know, kind about the situation. And I just was wondering if it's good to take space from family for a while till you kind of use the situation.
Well, you know, that's a very good question. And of course, not knowing exactly what the circumstance is, it's hard to speak. But I will say this, you know, it's very difficult for families to realize that when their loved ones become married, that their vocation in life has changed, and that the individual whom they've married and their marriage becomes top priority, because presumably this is a decision that was discerned carefully and that is the will of God for them. Now, marriage is meant to be a sign and a witness. It's meant to be a sign and a witness to the world of how Christ loves his bride, the church. And we have talked in the past about the fact that Christ loved his church unto death, right? And so that sign and that witness is a sign of the gift of total self-donation. And so this gift of marriage is meant for the couple's purification and sanctification. That's the inner mission of the marriage. But the exterior mission of the marriage is also to be a source of purification and sanctification for the world. So when we come into these situations, we have to carefully navigate them. so that we're making certain that, you know, we're not acting out of our hurt feelings, but we're acting out of the mission that's been entrusted to us. There is a need for couples to place their marriage ahead of other kinds of family considerations, unless, of course, those family considerations are part of their charitable outreach and part of that sign that they're meant to be as a couple, as a gift of total self-donation. So we want to make every possible adjustment or every possible way to reconcile with family. And at the same time, let them know that it is very important for us as a couple to live out our mission of marriage, both as a couple specific to each other, as well as a couple witness to the world, in a way that is in accordance with the teachings of the church and God's plan and will for us. In the early days of marriage, this is a big adjusting period. I remember it from my first marriage very, very well. You know, my husband's family had certain kinds of expectations. My family had certain kinds of expectations. And, you know, we were always trying to find our way as a couple in the midst of those things. And so we were able to do that. But it took a lot of time. It took a lot of discussion between the two of us. And it took some discussion with our family members as well. So I don't know what happened here. And if your sister, in some way said something that was painful or needed correcting, then you have every right to be able to discuss it with her. And people never really like to hear these things. I think that that's the common denominator of the human condition. When people have a serious discussion and basically they're saying what you did was wrong or what you did was offensive or whatever the case may be, that doesn't always sit well. The way in which we approach that and the diplomacy that we use and the way in which we phrase things can lessen the tension. But we have to know that it's a tension. If it's not something that's very serious, sometimes we can just give it a pass. But when it is serious, you know, we need to spend a little time in prayer figuring out how we're going to approach this. The fact that your sister took it wrongly, it isn't necessarily uncommon for all of the reasons I've just mentioned. People don't like to hear it. But it doesn't mean that it was wrong for you to say so. And what I would suggest that you do is try to carry on in the relationship with family, with all of this being put in place. If you're getting a lot of pushback from the family, it may be necessary to sit down and have just a little family meeting about it and say, it really troubles us because we so love all of you and we so treasure, you know, our families and our relationship with each one of you. So we want to try to come to some kind of accord on this, some kind of an agreement, you know, some kind of an acknowledgement, and work through this time together. That would be a very mature approach to take. They may want to enter in and they may not to, but then it's up to them. But you have extended the olive branch. And I would prefer that you would do that than just make a decision out of hand that you're going to walk away from these relationships for a little while. The distance may become a chasm that is not easily breached. You know, it might become a chasm that you can't pull back together again. So I wouldn't want it so young in your marriage, baby. I wouldn't want to see that happen. Do you have children yet?
No, we do not.
Okay.
One thing that was a comment after I did confront her was that I should choose my siblings and my parents over my husband. And I told her, I said, well, my husband is my family. And, you know, you're my family too, but he's my family. You know, and
well, she doesn't understand the vocation of marriage. That it's clear that she does not understand the vocation of marriage, because what you said is true. It says in sacred scripture, and this pertains to the man. I always thought it was interesting. It pertained to man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh. there is this one fleshedness in marriage that takes place between the couple, and families are sometimes quite reluctant to admit to that and to permit that to grow. They feel sidelined by it. Is this sister a married woman?
No.
All right, there you go. So she doesn't understand. What she sees is this bonding going on between you and your husband. And she feels threatened by it. She feels that her relationship, I'm guessing this, her relationship to you is threatened by this. And so, you know, you need to go out of your way a little bit with her, you know. Just you were right in what you told her. It's a good life lesson for her. And should God be calling her to the vocation of matrimony, she'll see. She'll see when she's on the other side of the vow. She'll understand better. But you know, you might want to just go out of your way a little bit to include her in some things. You know, say, you know, why don't we go out and have lunch? That's what I would do. You know, you've had the discussion with her. I would just call her up and I would say, you know, going to be doing this and that tomorrow or the next day or Saturday or whatever the case is. And, you know, how about we grab a bite to eat together? I'm looking forward to spending some time with you. And that'll soften it tremendously. Let me tell you, it'll soften it tremendously. So you got to kind of ease people into these realities a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. God bless you.
You too. Mm-hmm.
Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, these are hard, especially in these early years of marriage. You know, you're establishing yourself as a couple. And if you're the first married in the household, sometimes that can be quite difficult. It's a learning lesson for everybody, including mom and dad and brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles and everybody, grandparents too. All righty, we're going to go to Cameron. We're going to go to Glissaria and then Cameron. Glissaria is with us from Fort Washington, Maryland today. Amazon Echo. Woo-hoo! You like Alexis? Do you like Alexa?
Yes.
I do too.
Yes, I do.
I'm glad you're with us via the Echo. It's lovely that EWTN's available to you that way.
And thank you so much. It's so convenient. And thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay. My question is about Catholic teaching. Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I understand that they are equal.
Correct.
But in the song, a Catholic song that we sing, Beautiful Savior, it goes, Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God. And then it goes, Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer. I'm a catechist, and some of my students, they ask me these questions, but then shouldn't it say Jesus is fairest or Jesus is purest? Or am I making a big deal about this?
Well, you know what? Well, I gotta tell you, Glissaria.
I don't know how to answer this thing.
Well, let me say this about that. I'm glad that you take your role as catechist, your vocation as catechist, so seriously that you ask these kinds of questions. That's wonderful. I don't know about this song in particular, but there are numbers of songs that we sing in our Catholic Church that come from Protestant hymns and that come from Protestant lyricists and songwriters. And some of them are actually heretical. So it's teaching things that are not in accordance with the church. And I don't know how many people pay attention to those lyrics, but I will tell you this. One of the greatest ways we can teach is through music. So even if we're not cognitively aware of it when we're singing it, it still goes into the psyche and begins to make a difference. And I, on more than one occasion, have mentioned to pastors, we shouldn't be singing this song because it's heretical. And I'll point it out and they look at me strangely because I don't think it's ever dawned on them. You know, they've just been singing the song. So I'm glad that you do this. Now, here is the deal. And when we're talking about the Blessed Trinity, there's no one person of the Blessed Trinity that's greater than any of the other persons of the Blessed Trinity. So when it says Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, I want to ask a question because those are comparison. You know, those are comparisons. Jesus is fairer than whom? Jesus is purer than whom? He's not fairer than God the Father. He's not fairer than the Holy Spirit. He's not purer than God the Father, and he's not purer than the Holy Spirit. He is fairer and purer than any one of us is, you know. So if that's the comparison, that makes sense to me. In the way in which it is, it doesn't make any sense. So now fairer or purer is in this hierarchy of comparison is the mid range. He's fair, he's pure, he's fairer. That's when we get into this, you know, okay, so we're comparing Jesus to someone else. To say he's fairest or purest means he's the superlative, right? He is the superlative to all. So, I'd need to know the next line to see if it kind of clarifies or defines who we're comparing him to. Because if we're comparing him to the other two persons of the Blessed Trinity, then I would say that's a false notion. And even though the song might be pretty and the melody lovely, and it just might not be a song that we ought to be singing. Does that help?
Right. And I don't know if I should mention this to our pastor, because who am I to say that?
Well, you're a catechist. Wait. Right. Don't dash past that. You're a catechist, number one. You're a parishioner, number two. Number three, you are one who loves her faith and wants to know her faith. And number four, the priest is to encourage all of that. So to ask the question, and that's the way I like to phrase these things. I never just dash in personally and say, hey, what are you doing here, Father? What's the story with this song? I mean, that's off-putting. So if we come in and we approach it that way, it's wrong. And you know what? I just hope our previous callers listening too. It's always best to phrase these things in a question form. It's always better to put the onus on yourself in a little way. So you can say, Father, I'm confused about something. The lyrics in this song confuse me a little bit, and I'm wondering if you can't help me out and explain to me, so that I understand better. It says in this song, Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, and I'd like to know, to whom is the songwriter comparing him? And if the priest says, well, to God the Father, well, how can he be, now I don't understand, how could he be purer or fairer than God the Father or the Holy Spirit? Because they're equal. They're three, it's one God. So I don't understand. It's three persons in one God. One can't, it doesn't make logical sense. One is fairer or one is purer. So please help me to understand, Father. And then you might start a whole kind of thinking process for him that makes him more aware of what's being offered in the church. So you have every right to do that. Never ever say, who am I? You're a daughter of the church. You're a daughter of the Most High God. And you deserve to have those kinds of questions answered by virtue of who you truly are. Does that make sense to you?
Thank you. It does. And you mentioned something about the composer may be a convert. I Googled.
Well, no, Protestant.
Protestant.
Well, I was saying it could be a Protestant. Now, is this songwriter a convert?
The composer is Saint Elizabeth, and I researched Saint Elizabeth was a convert from another. From a Protestant.
Oh, is this Elizabeth Ann Seton?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, she was, obviously she was a daughter of the church, so I would just want to know the rest of the song. I just would want to know the rest of the passage. But you can ask Father about it, and he might give you a better answer than I'm giving you today. But I'd like to know. Now you've got my curiosity piqued, and I'm going to go find the song.
Yes. Okay.
All right, Glissary.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah. I really enjoy your show. Okay. Dan.
All right. Thank you. And keep talking to Alexa, especially in reference to EWTN. God bless you now. Oh, well, we're down to the last 2 minutes. I'm going to look at my producer. Can we take Cameron really fast? He's a little nervous about that. So, Cameron, I'm going to ask you to call back tomorrow, if you would, please. And for all of you that are out there on YouTube and Facebook, we've just had a full day of calls and questions. So YouTube and Facebook people, you can tune in tomorrow. I'll ask our producer to grab those questions, and maybe I can mention one or two of them tomorrow if possible. It's been fabulous being with you today. It certainly has. I thank you so much for listening to Women of Grace Live and all of the beautiful programming here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many good and wonderful, all of our affiliates out there, as well as our radio partners. We look forward to being back with you again tomorrow. Please join us there. In the meantime, let's promise to pray for each other, tucking you in my rosary today, as I do all of the time. Until we're together again, this is Johnette Williams saying God bless you. Bye-bye now.